1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I'll read verse number 13. The Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, and that ye may be able to bear it." I'll read again. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Let's pray. Abba Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. We pray today that as your seed is planted forth, Daddy, that you prepare first our hearts that we may be able to receive this. Thank you for the moment of worship that we heard. And Daddy, that is the cry of our hearts. We want you. In every aspect and area of our lives, we need you. We choose to say, "Father, have your way." We choose to say, "We give you permission." Teach us today, even as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yesterday at my house, in the afternoon, we were not doing much, so we decided to watch a movie. And the movie we were watching was Superman. My son is into superheroes so much, and so we were watching Superman Returns on Netflix. But then somewhere three quarters into the movie, the mom decided to take them to Walmart. And so they went away, and I switched the channels, and there's this show on Netflix. It's called AD, which is Anno Domini. This is the period after Jesus. And this particular show is about, and really the storyline is about, the crucifixion has just taken place. So it starts from the crucifixion of Jesus, and then after the crucifixion, so Jesus dies and resurrects, and the disciples are going through all the emotions and, you know, the warfare with the Roman kingdom, because the Roman soldiers want them dead, and you know, the turmoil and the challenges of the time. And part of it is just the anxiety with the disciples. You know, Jesus has died. They have known people who died. And so for them, understanding that he will come back wasn't easy. And so there's all that going on. And so I really enjoyed the show. You know, it's really acted well. And the actors they did a good job, you know. Unlike most of the Christian movies that I watch, they really did a good job. Anyway, as I was watching this, they came back from Walmart, and my daughter was really interested because she saw the crucifixion part, and she said, "Daddy, is it okay if we just start from season one?" And I said, "Sure." So we started the thing, and then we watched. I told her it's kind of bloody at the beginning when Jesus is being crucified, and she said, "I'm okay." And I asked the boy, "Are you cool?" He says, "Okay." So we started watching. And so Jesus dies, and then there's the resurrection part. But then before we get to the resurrection, of course, the death of Jesus with the emotions that go with us. And these are kids. My son is three. So I make a decision in my head. I'm going to have to watch season one and then season two for after Jesus resurrects, so that they can be able to relate that and they, you know, end at a good note. Anyway, so my son says, "Daddy, we are watching Superman." And I said, "No, we are going to watch until when Jesus resurrects, and then we will go back and watch Superman." And he says, "Well, cool, right?" So we continue watching this show, and we get to the place where Jesus resurrects, and then I keep watching, and we are all into it. My daughter is just like glued to the TV, and I'm in there, and I'm in it, and I'm just like, "Man, this is great." And then my son goes, "Daddy?" And I said, "Yes." And he says, "You know, God died, and then he was done being dead." And, you know, I'm a pastor, so this is really good. I'm like, my son got the revelation, you know. Yeah, God died and he's done being deaded, you know. And so I'm really excited. I'm like, yeah, you know. And so I'm looking at Anne and I'm like, you know, we are connecting, man. This message is going through. Then he says to me,
No, Dad, you said when he's done being deaded, we will watch Superman.
And I thought I would use that as an illustration today as we talk about temptation. You see, in that case, there is the enticement of Superman, you know, the beauty and the, you know, the graphics in the movie and all that good stuff that we would all incline towards, the seduction of the world pretty much that pulls us away from the things of God. And my son in that moment was pulled and dragged into Superman, that even watching the movie, the story of Jesus, he was just watching, you know, waiting for God to be done deaded, you know. You know, and that was really profound. Today we are going to talk about temptation, how to deal with temptation. Now, the book of Corinthians, as Paul goes to the church in Corinth, Paul starts speaking to the Corinthians, and from chapter number 6, Paul starts talking to them about being Christians. Remember, the Corinthian church has just been born. It's a new church. And Paul wants to speak to them about how to live as Christians, as believers. And one of the things that Paul says to them that is really profound in the book of Corinthians is he speaks about the liberty that the Christians have, the freedom that we have. He says to them, in fact, he goes to another extent, to another level when he speaks about liberty and freedom. He says, you are so free as a church. He says, as the church in Corinth, you are so free. But then he doesn't stop there. He says, you are free so much, so liberated, that he declares everything is lawful. He says, you are so free. You as a church, you are so free. If you're in Christ Jesus, if the Son has set you free, you are free. You're liberated. That is the message of Paul. He says, as long as you are in Christ, you have liberty. You have freedom. But then he comes to Corinthians chapter number 10. So 6, 7, 8, and 9, he speaks to them about freedom. He speaks to them in chapter 8 about eating at the temples of idols. He says, you know what? There is no problem with eating food that is offered to idols. You can eat it. That is your freedom. Your freedom shouldn't, however, cause somebody else to sin. So he says, you guys are free. You are liberated. But then in chapter number 10, he says, he sounds a warning. He speaks to the church with an exhortation, a warning exhortation. And he says, listen, you see, you are free. However, you are not the first group to be free. Amen. Uh-oh. He says, you see, there were some that came before you that were free too, that had been liberated, that Christ had called from bondage into freedom. Remember, he's talking about the nation of Israel. He says, it reminds you of the nation of Israel, these people that were in bondage in Egypt, and Jesus Christ, God was able to liberate them. But Paul pushes it further. He says, I want us to read that really fast, because that's not where we're going to camp today. But chapter number 10, verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. He says these people had also been liberated by Jesus. They had been saved. They had been pulled from bondage to a place of liberty. He says, he continues and says, but, which brings to the warning. He says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown into the wilderness. Now, these things were examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, that they also lusted. Now, one of the things that Paul is warning the church at Corinth, one of the things that Jesus Christ is warning the church in Cheyenne this morning, is to lust after evil. Number one thing he says, you stay away from this stuff. Stay away from lust, lusting after evil things. Let me tell you something, children of God. Every time you lust after something and you feed that desire, you open a portal for more. You will never be satisfied. You'll never satisfy lust. Because as long as you feed it, you open a portal for more hunger for the same. He says, don't lust after evil things, number one. Number two, we all know that what Paul is referencing when he speaks about the nation of Israel and what they lusted after, the Bible says that they lusted after the flesh. Bible says that God was feeding them with manna. But they were like, no, Lord, we want meat. We want flesh. We want to eat meat. And the Bible says that God sent them quails, meat in form of quails. And the book of Psalms, the psalmist actually tells us, you know, in Genesis, God says, eat until they come through your noses. You know, and at first when I read that, I did not connect. But the psalmist says to us that that literally happened. That the nation of Israel, you see, every time God speaks something, it happens. When God tells the nation of Israel, you're lusting after flesh, when I give you, eat until it comes through your nose. Thousands of them died. They ate the meat of these quails and they didn't stop eating until this would come through their noses and they died. Thousands of them died because of that lust. The second thing that he warns against, he says, stay away from idolatry. Verse number 7, he says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Moses goes to the mountains and he comes down, and the Bible says that he finds, we were joking about that this morning, he finds that the nation of Israel, they had erected an animal. He showed up and the first thing Moses was said was, holy cow! There was a cow that they had put up, that they were worshiped. They were dancing around this cow naked. They were dancing around this idol, worshiping. And last week we mentioned this. We said that you might say that I do not have any idols. But then, remember Chicago Bulls? We may have bulls of our own. We may have things that we have made into idols, that we have made that are standing in the way between us and God. Some of the things that we have put worth to, that we have put value to, it could be a relationship even. It could be a status that you have in your life that you've decided to elevate above the knowledge of God, that's an idol. He warns them against idolatry. So the first thing that he warns them against is against lust. Then he warns them against idolatry. In verse number 8, the Bible says, let us neither commit fornication. The people, you see, in the Old Testament, the Bible says that they committed fornication, and in one day, 23,000 of them were wiped out. They died. As he says there, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. 23,000 of them were wiped out in the same day because of fornication. He warns, Paul says, listen, you have the freedom, but you are not the first people to have the freedom. Somebody else had the freedom, and this happened as an example for you. He says, this freedom that we have, somebody else had it, but they messed it up, so that it serves as an example for us, because now we are the people in that chair that we call freedom. We are in that, we have been called into the salvation, baptized into Christ, drunk of the same cup, which is Christ Jesus, like the people of the Old Testament had drunk. But the Bible says they committed fornication, they were lusting after evil things, they were committing fornication. And the third thing that he warns them against, he says, idolatry. Verse number 9, he says, let us not tempt Christ. He says, let us not tempt Christ, because they tempted God back then and they were killed for that. They tempted God. And the final thing that he warns them against, and I'm browsing through this, please find time and go sit down and study that scripture, because it's part of who we are, and Paul is speaking to us. The last one, verse number 10, which is the sixth one, he says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Some of them were murmuring. Have you ever sat around negative people? People that nothing for them ever works out. They are complaining about people. They are complaining about their bosses. These people, they were complaining about God or about Moses. They were murmuring about Moses, about their leader. But you know how God took it? He took it, they were complaining against him. Because it's Jesus, it is God that has allowed that leader into position. It is God that has allowed that person into the place of leadership that he has placed them. Murmuring is what Paul says, don't do that. It will get you. Now, we have read all this, and you're seated there and you're saying, but I know myself. I have such a vulnerability. I kind of, you know, find myself lusting after evil things. I find myself murmuring. I complain about my bosses. I complain about my situation in life. I murmur about everything and everyone. That is me. I have this vulnerability towards a challenge in my life, an addiction in my life. I have a vulnerability towards fornication. For me, that's just so easy for me. It's a temptation that keeps coming my way. Now, Paul gives this warning exhortation, but then he gives a warning exhortation. He says, the first thing he says, well, this is what's up. These are things to stay away from. But then he gives something, that's a warning, but then he gives a warming. He warms your heart with the next verses that we are going to work on today. Verse number 13, he says, you know, he says, well, these things are going on, but you know what? There is no temptation that has taken you, but such as is common to man. Paul opens this door to us to tell us, listen, you are not alone. I wrote in your bulletins that, you know, the devil wants to isolate you, to make you feel like you are the only one that is tempted like that. Everyone seated in this room, we have a level of temptation. Some of us, it's so bad according to our sight. Some of us, it's so mild according to our sight. He says, listen, this is common. You will be surprised how many people think the things that you are so afraid to confess that you think. You will be surprised how many have gone through the same cycle of just thinking things. You might be in here and say, you know, I'm not vulnerable in that way. And think, how can somebody even think about that? That is gross. That is just, that's beyond thinking or imagining. So you might be there, and then the person that is imagining that might be in here saying, you know, I don't think that this is anything that anybody ever thinks. Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. He says, this is common. He says, this happens to men, to sons of men. They think these things. Number two thing that is very encouraging to me, he says that this is common to man, but listen to me, somebody else the temptation is common to. For you see, in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 15, the Bible says, for we have a high priest that has been through the same temptation, underline that word temptation, every thought that you have thought to yourself, this is too gross, that I even think like this, this is such a, that I'm tempted like this, this is so bad that I even get tempted to do stuff like this. Jesus Christ was tempted in the same exact way. The Bible says that he's been there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, he says he's been there. This high priest understands what's going on because he has been tempted in every way. That's what the Bible says. So wherever you are,
You are not alone. If there is no one else in this room, Jesus Christ has been there. Ah, come on. You missed a place to say amen. That the temptation, that it's not just common to man, it is also common to the Son of Man. Yet the Bible says that he overcame it. He came out from on the other side victorious. Even though he went through the same temptation that you're going through, he came to the other side victorious. And because he came to the other side victorious and he lives inside of me, then I can come to on the other side victorious. He says this temptation is common to man, but it's also common to Christ. And because Jesus Christ has overcome it, he came out sinless. I can come out sinless. That's an encouragement for me. Number two thing that he points out, which I wrote there, that it's an encouraging premise. And the premise is that this is common. It is common to man. Number two, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Number one is that this temptation is common and that Jesus Christ has been there and Jesus Christ is in you, which means he got it. Amen. But then number two is that every temptation, when it comes out to us, there is a way for us out of it. There is a consistent, every time he will never allow something, number one, that you cannot handle. Okay? Now, number one, he never allows anything that is not within your capacity. So if you can handle 10 pounds, he will never allow 11 pounds to come your way. Everything that is coming your way, every temptation that God has rubber stamped, has approved to come your way, is coming in your capacity. You can handle it. Number two. So number one is, I can handle it. But then also with that, he provides a way out. How do we know this? First of all, I made a few statements that I want us to handle. If you want to go to the next slide. A temptation in and of itself is not sin. It is not sin that you are being tempted. It is sin when we succumb to the temptation and fall away into sin. So the fact that I'm being tempted is not sin. Amen. The fact that all this stuff is coming my way is not sin. Sin is when I submit to that stuff. Number two. Every one of us has a way that they are tempted. We've handled that. Number three, Jesus was tempted in all the ways that we are. We've handled that. The last one, a temptation is not a temptation until it's a temptation. That's easy. A temptation is not a temptation until it's a temptation. Listen, if when I'm fasting, you show up with, what are those things I don't like? Broccoli. You show up with that and you've made it so good, I'll be like, oh, I'll pass. It is not a temptation to me. But then if I am there, and you show up with bread. Somebody told me that there's this wonderful type of bread. You show up with that. Man, I look at it and I'm just like, it's now a temptation. A temptation is not a temptation until it is a temptation. Until you get to that place where you have to be intentional about not doing it. Otherwise, you will do it, is when it's a temptation. But then when they come like that, when the temptation is a temptation, it is only what you can handle. And even if that were to pass by, there is a way How do we see the way? And that's where we are going to handle today. How do we see the way? How do we see the way out of this? See, this is great information, Pastor Dan. This is great information in theory. Because I've been tempted before. I've been in a place where I was like, man, I don't know how if tomorrow shows up, praise the Lord. So in theory, it's easy. No temptation is great. I can handle it. It's bigger than me. How does the word become flesh? How does the word transfer from being the word and become manifest in me, where the temptation will come and I will find a way out of it? Come with me to the book, to the man who kind of became the word. It's called incarnation. And the word became flesh. Amen. Amen. So how does the word become flesh? Come with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. I believe it should be up there. From verse number 1 to 11. This is during the temptation of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus Christ goes to the Jordan and he's baptized there. And the moment when he gets baptized, the Bible says, as soon as he gets out of the water, he hears a voice from heaven declaring audibly, "This is my son, and I'm well pleased with him." How wonderful would it be if you would hear God say, "This is my son, and I'm well pleased in him. This is my daughter, and I'm well pleased in him, in her." How wonderful would that be? So Jesus has heard these words. It feels good to know that Daddy is pleased in me. Ask my children. When my daughter comes, today when we were doing worship, my son was painting something. And after worship, he comes to me with a piece of paper and he says, "Daddy, I did this. And the expectation, of course, was for me to say, "Good job, baby, you did awesomely." And I did that, and there was this pride in his eyes because he knows his father is pleased in him. Well, of course, because we fought before during worship when he's doing stuff he's not supposed to be doing. And today he did what he thought he was supposed to be doing. He was so proud. Jesus hears his father say, "I'm pleased in you." And then the Bible says that the Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. After 40 days and 40 nights of fasting and prayer, the Bible says that he is hungry. Now, on the third day, and we know this, we just did a fast here a few weeks ago, the 3-week fast. And after the third day, my body adjusted to, you know, there's no food. You wake up and you're not going to have any food. And this would go on until the third week. No, until the fourth week. We did 3 weeks. Yeah, until the third week, the 20 fast days, beginning towards the end, towards 40 days, the people that have studied this stuff, they tell you that your body does not feel any hunger for 35 days, you will not feel the hunger. But around the 40th day, the hunger returns. And when it returns, it is your body telling you that you are about to die. You either get food or you die. Remember, it's not a temptation until it's a temptation. Jesus is in that place where his body is telling him, "You need food now or you will die." Remember, Jesus Christ was 100% human. And as he's in this state, Satan shows up and he tempts him. He says, "Here is bread." And let's read. "Then was Jesus led up to the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward unhungered." So afterwards, after the 40 that time, the hunger returns. "And when he had fasted, and when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God.'" Now remember, Satan will always challenge what God has said. Jesus had just heard God say, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." The devil is going to question that. The devil, in the book of Genesis, he questioned the same thing. Did God really say
And that is the challenge. Whenever the devil comes to us, he comes to question whatever you've read. So you read the scriptures and he's going to come and question, did he mean that? And so he says, the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Bread is what Jesus needs the most in this moment. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus answered and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him unto the holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands ye shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, I want us to point to realize something, that with every temptation, the way out of a temptation is the scripture. It is the word of God. And here we have that evidence that Jesus Christ had the word of God with him. That when the devil came to him with the temptation, he had the word of God. Now I want you to also notice something else. That Satan quotes scripture. He quoted the word of God. He quoted the Bible. But then what he does not remember, when he says that he takes a portion of scripture, the devil will quote part of the scripture. If you go finish where he was reading, there was a very, very important part of that scripture that the devil left out. Where he says, where in Psalms 91 he says, where we will do everything to honor God. To honor God, that's what he left out. He says, well, fall down and he's destroyed and you will be lifted. And Jesus Christ comes at him with another scripture. We have to have our lives continuing in the word of God. If you're going to fight temptations, we have to set our lives continuing in scripture. And I'm going to prove to you later that Jesus Christ was continuing in scripture. He wasn't just coming up with random scriptures when the devil came to attack him. He was continuing in scripture. The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Go to the next one. Again, the devil taketh him unto the exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kings of the world, the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Again, it is not a temptation until it's a temptation. The devil, literally when Adam sinned, Adam handed over the title deed of the world to Satan. He handed it over to Satan. So when the devil is telling Jesus, I will give all this to you if you bow down and worship me, he ain't kidding. He has the title deed. He says, I'll give it back to you. All Jesus would have done was bow down and then he would have received the world, but without redemption for us. Because the Bible says that without the death, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus would have gone the easy way. He would have fallen for that temptation and gone, you know what? I came to redeem the world and I can get it without going through all that stuff. He could have done that. Devil says, I'll give it to you. All you need to do is bow down. It was legitimate. Jesus would have considered it. It was not a temptation until it was a temptation. Remember? He would have considered it. The Bible says, then Jesus counters again with another scripture. He says, then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. How do we handle temptation? How do we deal with temptation? Three things, and then we will close down. Three things, and then we'll close down. The first one, if you're not got the next slide, the first thing that we will do to handle temptation is continuing in the Word, continuing in the Word. What we have seen Jesus Christ do, the Word becoming flesh, is that as Jesus Christ is being tempted, as these things are being thrown at him, there is something that that I will bring you to realize today, that the answers that Jesus gave to the tempter, when Satan was tempting him, when he says to him, "Hey, if you want to turn this into bread," Jesus Christ quotes a scripture. Take a note that he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, number 3, where he says, "Man shall not live alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then he throws at him, "Hey, fall down from the temple and he'll uphold you." And the second thing that Jesus Christ quotes is Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 16, where the Bible says that you shall not put the Lord your God to test. And the last one, he says, "I will give you all the kingdoms." And then he says, "You shall not put the Lord your God to a test." He quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 13. I do believe strongly that during the time that Jesus Christ was in the desert, during the time that he was fasting and praying, he was reading the book of Deuteronomy. It is too much of a coincidence that he was quoting from the same scroll, from the same scripture when the temptations came. That Jesus Christ was continuing in the Word when the temptation came. And so he pulled from where he had just read recently. Listen to me, child of God. If you're continuing in the Word, every time that the enemy comes your way, there is a way out, because as you continue in the Word, God is going to give you the Word for the season, the Word for every challenge that is coming. I quoted in your scriptures that the Bible says that we know the wiles of Satan. We know his schemes. We know his ideas. I put this in your bulletin. We know how he works. If we know how he works, it's only because God has revealed it to us. And if the Lord knows how Satan works, the Lord is going to prepare us. So as you're continuing in the Word, you'll come across some scriptures, and then 2 days later, you realize you're using those scriptures. One day later, in the afternoon of that day, somebody says something to you, and you remember, "I read about humility today." And you quote that humility. You bring forth what you're continuing into. Jesus Christ had been reading Deuteronomy, and so by the time the challenges come, by the time the temptations come, he has got all the ammunition that he needs, and so he quotes whatever it is that he'd been hearing. Listen to me, child of God, if you are going to deal with temptation, if you're going to stand and live a victorious Christian living, you have to continue in the Word. You have to continue studying and reading and continuing in the Word of God. It shouldn't be for that moment, praise the Lord. It shouldn't be for Sunday morning. When I say read Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, continuing in the Word means you are continuously reading, that when the temptation comes, you can pull from the stock of what you, from the reserves of what you have received. Number two thing, speak out the Word of God. Speak out the Word of God. Listen to me, children of God. The devil does not read minds. Satan has no ability to read your mind. That is important to me. It should be important to you. Because you realize that if he's going to destroy you, it is only going to be because you said something. Ha! If everything that you're doing is inside, the Bible says that Joseph, God gives him a vision. He says, you know what? This is in the vision. He sees his family bowing down to him. And then he runs outside and he starts speaking these things. When you speak it, the devil hears it. He has something to fight you with. Be careful, number one, what you're saying and who you are saying it to. Bible says it is better to remain quiet than open your mouth and prove people otherwise. He says, be quick to listen, but slow to answer. Your mouth can destroy you. The devil does not know what's in your heart, what you're thinking, until you open your mouth. Now, this is powerful for me because of this. When I go into warfare with Satan, I will utter things loudly, boldly, authoritatively. The Bible says, and we read that today, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Speak the word. Open your mouth and speak the word of God. Listen to me, when the temptation starts coming into your head, when those thoughts start coming, just start verbally speaking the word of God. Just start talking, start quoting scripture verbally, loudly. And tell me 10 minutes later if you will still be thinking those things. If you have a prescription that says, you know what, the prescription is simple. The Bible says that I should think on things that bring God glory, things that are worthy of praise. If I'm going through these bad thoughts, these evil thoughts, these depressing thoughts, and I start quoting Philippians chapter 4, think ye on these things that bring me glory, things that bring God glory, things that are worthy of praise. You start saying that and you will distract yourself. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you start speaking the scriptures in the air, your ears hear them and your faith is firmed. And then you don't fall into that temptation. Whatever temptation it is, speak the word of God. I do believe that Jesus Christ audibly, loudly speaks to Satan and says, Satan, I shall not put my God to test. That is a scripture Jesus had just read. The final thing that you will do that will help you overcome temptation or deal with temptation is submitting to the word of God. Submitting to the word of God. Now remember, the devil and Jesus both spoke the word. Okay? They all quoted scripture. The only difference, the only thing that sets Jesus apart is that he submitted to that word. He wasn't just quoting scripture. Come on. Don't miss that. That is very important. You are not just speaking words. You are not just quoting scripture. You know, in the moment, you're not just saying, think ye on these things, things that are bring praise. Start submitting to that word. Jesus says, I shall not go, because it's written that I will not put my God to a test, I will not put my God to a test. Does that make sense? He submits to that word. He's not just quoting scriptures. He's submissive under the scripture. He's saying, because it says this, I shall not this. Because it says that, I will not. I will submit to the word. And that is what sets you apart from Satan. He knows scripture. The temptation that he will bring your way, he will even quote scripture. He will make it sound religious and good and acceptable. The difference between you is that when you quote the same exact scripture, you are submitting under it. You're saying it's written, and because it's written, I will not move an inch to the left of what's written, an inch to the right of what's written. I will submit because this is what God is saying about my life, about this situation, about this circumstance. So that is your way out of the temptation. He says, I have, and Jesus Christ proves to us that because of his continuous dwelling in the word, because of his continuing in the word, when the temptations come his way, like they would come to every one of us at a given point in life, at some point in your life, a temptation is going to come. You have to have the courage enough, the confidence enough to say, because he has said it, I will submit under the word of God. Under the word of God. I'm not just saying the scriptures. I am submissive under the scriptures. I am not just saying scriptures. I am audibly speaking them because I submit under them. And I am speaking them because I know them. The reason you know them is because you're continuing in studying the word. You're continuing in scripture. Will you stand up so we pray? Temptation is common to man, but it's common to the Son of Man. It is common to Jesus. He's been through it. It says to me that I'm not alone. But with the temptation, there is a door. There's always an escape route from the temptation. If I look very good, I will see it. There's an open door. Whenever these thoughts and temptations come our way, the devil has a way of isolating us and putting us in a box. He actually makes it feel like all Jesus would have to do if ever he has to eat would be to make bread out of the rocks. Man, that's a temptation I would have fallen for. I love bread. But because he knew he was continuing in scriptures, he knew what to say. You might be here this morning. Number one thing is you cannot submit to someone you don't know. You can't. You may pretend. You may just obey. But submission comes with relationship. If you haven't given your life to Christ, there is an opportunity, a very, very ripe opportunity here for you this morning. Number two, if you're here and you're struggling with a temptation, a vulnerability that you know is so common for you and it's different, you feel like you are all there by yourself. When it's happening, you feel like all the world is closed down and you get closed in your mind. There is an opportunity for prayer here today for you. Everybody, close your eyes. You're here and you know you struggle with a particular temptation and sometimes you succumb to it. I would have you just move a part of your body, any part of your body, and that's just declaring to God, "This, it's me. It's me, Lord," even as I pray. Father God, I come to you as we submit to your word today. The Bible says that in your job description, there is setting captives free and declaring the acceptable year of the Lord. It says that on the day of salvation, you succored us, and that now is the time for salvation. Father, as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us have moved apart, saying, "It's me, Daddy, you have seen. You know their hearts. You know their desire. You know their vulnerability. You know how it feels, the rawness of how it feels, the helplessness and hopelessness that sometimes that brings in our lives. You understand that from a perspective that we mostly wouldn't. Father, I pray, move, Holy Spirit of God. Just as you move during our worship this morning, move as we worship you in this prayer. Father God, blow into people's hearts. Speak worth in somebody that this morning is feeling worthless. Speak hope in somebody this morning that is feeling hopeless. Father God, restore people to the value that you have brought into our lives. Father God, speak hope. I see somebody here that is feeling hopeless, that you've been through the same temptation over and over and failed in so many ways that you've come to that place of saying, "You know, I'm done. I don't care anymore." The Lord says he's going to minister to that area now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Father God, blow into our hearts today. Blow, Holy Spirit of God, just blow. Breathe your life into the lifeless bodies that we are, Lord. Breathe your life into these broken bones and shattered lives and shattered pasts, Lord Jesus Christ, and bring restoration and hope even now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much for what you have done. Today, Abba Father, we thank you for salvation. If you're here and you hadn't given your life to Christ, this is an opportunity. And I want the whole church to just pray this, Lord Jesus. Just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Father, erase my name from the book of damnation and write it in the book of life. Receive me into the beloved. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in your death and resurrection and the salvation that that has brought over my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have prayed that prayer and you hadn't given your life to Christ, please find a minister, find somebody that is following Christ and that is walking with Christ, and just have them guide you through that, disciple you through that. Otherwise, may God bless you. May God increase you. I want to pray for you. Father God, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for your word this morning. We pray that you continue blessing us, Father, because you are our God. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.